Good evening, world. It's Thursday evening again. The sky is not on fire again. Conditions are perfect. Let's play some music. And that was the Chandrillion, club mix of Nemos, yeah, from Andor Season 2, which was a bit sort of plot by committee, but had some good bits. Not too damning. Right, what are we doing? Who are we? What are we doing? This is the What Do We Do About show. Which is generally broadcasting on Thursdays, unless it's not, at 9 p.m. The show's premise is there's me, Hi, I'm called Drumster, and I am reluctantly joined by the Boffins. These are previous members of the public who were encouraged to join the Boffin program and use their massive brains to solve society's biggest problems. Yay. They may or may not be held against their will. We haven't got studies to conclusively prove whether that's the case or not. So that's the Boffins. I have DJ Deck, who is an actual deck of playing cards, who decides the music choices. And there's the Wheel of Calamity, which is spun to decide what this week's subject for the Boffins to solve is. And that's most of the show. This is in case I get a new listener to let you know what the heck you've let yourself in for. And it's all Stuart Pink's fault, who is the founder of City Radio, because he wants my new listener to know what is going on. So there's that bit. So next is Spinning the Wheel of Calamity, and then we'll see what this week's theme is.
How do you solve a problem like
football match defeat? Yes, this week's subject is football match defeat. And if you're English and saw last night's match between England and Argentina, you'd realise why that is this week's theme. So I'm going to let Moss from the IT crowd explain a bit about how exciting football actually is. Hold on a sec.
Hooray, he's kicked the ball. Now the ball's over there. That man has it now. That's an interesting development. Maybe he'll kick the ball. He has indeed, and apparently that deserves a round of applause.
Will you shut up? They're going to hear you.
This is the worst thing in the world.
What could I do? He bought the tickets on the phone when we were in the pub. I could hardly say no, could I?
Can I use this?
I don't know.
Come on, they're singing! They're singing! Maybe we should sing!
Just promise me we won't do anything else with them. I want to go back to being weird. I like being weird. Weird's all I've got. That and a sweet style.
Okay, look, we'll make our excuses when the match is over. How long do football matches last?
A billion hours, apparently.
Right, so that is the theme, which is football match defeat. I'm going to give that to the Boffins, and then they'll write down the answers on their little cards with their little crayons after this song, which is Four of Diamonds. So something a bit similar to what you've just heard. So I'll be back after that. And that was Star Guitar by the Chemical Brothers. Right, our first boffin is Ludolf. Brave, brave Ludolf. How will he fare? So, Ludolf suggests that we implement the Universal Victory Calendar. What's that? Well, ultimately, football defeats only exist because we insist on remembering events in the order they actually happened. So Ludolf believes this rigid attachment to chronological accuracy has held the sport back for generations. So instead, the Universal Victory Calendar abandons conventional timekeeping entirely. The England team receives one guaranteed victory every couple of days, maybe once a week, whatever. Should they unfortunately lose on that day, like they did last night, the match is simply reassigned to another date on which they actually won. Calendars, newspapers, digital archives and supporters' memories are synchronised overnight by the newly established National Chronological Adjustment Office. So, how does that look initially? So the public are going to experience only mild confusion with that implemented. Fixtures appear to move slightly between Tuesdays and Thursdays. Historians become irritated. Television listings become speculative. And also we're going to have our own version of reality compared to the rest of the world, which is no surprise. It's nothing different for us in the UK. Let's have a look how that sort of works out down the line. So nobody has the faintest idea when anything happened. Christmas occasionally arrives in September because several postponed cup fixtures. This is sort of applied to everything, to all of the football matches, not just the World Cup. Whoops. So Christmas is moved because all these other postponed cup fixtures and such require additional calendar space. Football seasons vary wildly in length depending on appeal outcomes, with one campaign officially lasting for 6 years. School children are going to learn entirely different league tables depending on which textbook edition they receive. Elderly supporters are going to confidently insist that the national team has remained unbeaten since 1966. And after 17 rounds of chronological corrections, they're going to be technically correct, actually. Reality itself becomes an optional extra, but nobody minds because the league table finally looks respectable. Football at long last has solved the problem of losing by abolishing the inconvenient habit of allowing the past to stay where it was. Ludolf, have you solved football match defeat? I think you have. I mean, you've confused a whole nation to do it. But yeah, the question was, solve football match defeat. Ludolf, you've solved it. Freedom is yours. Go skip merrily towards the sunlight. Yes, over there. Not over there. There. That's better. Ludolf is free and happy. See, all you need to do is answer the question well, and you too can be free if you were ever to become a boffin. Maybe don't believe the lies. Like, if it says free pies and sausages next to the van, like, walk away. I mean, you kind of inflict this on yourselves by being so gullible. Anyway, next song is A Nine of Hearts. So that's going to be quite different to what you just heard, I think. Let's see how we do. I'm trying to make the song choice is less heavy metal, just in case I have a listener and they're offended by very heavy music, which is a shame because I quite like it. But I'll live, and this way maybe they'll not put the fingers in their ears and switch off after 5 minutes and listen to enough to recommend it to one of their friends. One can only dream. Anyway, on to the song. Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Such a gentle little ditty. Also, the music video is marvellous, if you're into such things. Right, Dagobert. I don't know how they're doing this. Every week, we scrub the cells clear and clean, so the new boffins have got somewhere luxurious and fancy to stay. And I'm expecting normal names from our boffins. Instead, they keep finding a way to communicate with each other that they should use made-up names as some kind of little revenge against their captors. Hold on a minute. No, a light jape, sort of shared with the landlord. Yeah. It's a very pleasant sort of two-way relationship, not sort of captor and slave, nothing like that. No, that sounds wrong. So Dagobert, if that's your actual name, suggests that we introduce reverse gravity football. What does he say about that? Scoring goals is unnecessarily difficult because footballers spent over a century operating under conventional Earth gravity. This represents a spectacular failure of imagination. Okay, thank you for that, Dagobert. Let's see. So, initial implementation. The Reverse Gravity Football Initiative equips every stadium with gigantic subterranean gravity generators capable of subtly altering the laws of physics. Whenever a team falls behind, gravity gently shifts in their favour. Their passes float beautifully through the air, defenders leap effortlessly into impossible positions, and shots gain an encouraging amount of extra lift. The early trials are going to be considered broadly successful, despite several midfielders requiring rescue from the stadium roof. Goalkeepers are going to report that diving becomes significantly more complicated when horizontal movement occasionally includes a gentle upward spiral. Okay, promising. Let's see what happens later on. Football is going to evolve beyond recognition. So tactical analysts are going to discuss things like controlled orbital pressing. Corners occasionally require air traffic clearance. NASA begins scouting promising wingers because their ability to judge floating crosses translates remarkably well to spacecraft docking procedures. During one memorable FA Cup final in the future, a particularly ambitious clearance remains airborne for 3 weeks before finally landing in Belgium, where local officials reluctantly award a throw-in. Okay, Dagobert, it seems. Have you solved football match defeat? Football defeat. You could have solved it, but you have resorted to employing pseudoscience, science that we don't yet have. So, in theory, you will have, but as of today's science technology capabilities, you haven't solved it. But under a new ruling, you are allowed a day release. So not totally free yet, you haven't earned that, but you are allowed out for a day to do what you want to do that day. You'll be escorted by one or more burly people. Might be a gentleman, might be a gentle lady, but at least one who will encourage you to do the right thing. So no sort of shouting help, help, or sort of complaining about imprisonment. Nothing like that to spoil your day. No, you'll be encouraged to just do smiley, uplifting and happy things. And then at the end of your day, which is 8 hours for the avoidance of doubt, you'll be brought back and you will continue your boffindom into next week's show, hopefully, Who knows? Maybe one of you will survive that long. And then have another go. So, yeah, day release pass only. Well done. Good try. But not quite there. So, yes. Go over there, Dagobert, and we'll dress you like a normal person. And off you go for a bit. But no squealing. Stitches get snitches. That's not the right way around. Snitches get stitches. There you go. And we have very poor medical capabilities. What with us not really being equipped for that sort of thing. So try not to get injured in a way that would require stitching, please. For everyone's health and safety. Yes. Right. Five of Spades is the next song. So I will put that onto the record player table thingy and spin it. Yeah. Woo. Back after that. Was Mr. Brightside by The Killers, though I'm not sure if they're actual killers or that's just the name they went with for the band. Let's go with band name, that sounds more cheery. Next up is, I see what you did there, Lee, L-E-E, on C. Lee on C. Oh, so funny. Lee on C suggests that we implement mandatory sympathy goals. So modern football, says Lee, has become obsessed with winning, statistics and competitiveness. Somewhere along the way, it forgot the simple human value of sharing. Okay, what does that look like? Under the Mandatory Sympathy Goal Initiative, yeah, let's call it that, every team leading comfortably must donate goals to their struggling opponents. Once the score reaches 3-0, the winning captain is politely reminded that continued success may appear boastful. The fourth goal automatically transfers one existing goal to the opposition. By the time the score reaches 6-0, the leading side is effectively operating a charitable foundation. So what does that look like initially? This begins with educational workshops encouraging footballers to consider the emotional well-being of defenders they're just embarrassing. Teams receive colourful posters explaining that sharing goals builds communities. Referees carry special goal donation cards alongside yellow and red cards, while commentators warmly congratulate teams displaying exceptional generosity. All right, let's run that for a bit. Okay, the entire football pyramid has transformed. Managers are no longer judged by trophies, but their annual compassion index. Supporters proudly sing songs celebrating their team's willingness to help struggling opponents. Elite strikers apologise after scoring particularly spectacular goals, while defenders send thank you cards to opposing forwards for keeping the match socially balanced. Every Premier League fixture finishes 2-2, not because the teams are evenly matched, but because nobody wishes to appear insensitive by winning convincingly. Television audiences gradually lose interest in results and instead vote for the most thoughtful pass of the weekend. Okay, Leon C. Did you solve football match defeat? Yes, you did. Without resorting to pseudoscience, which a chap called Phil Rebold, a colleague, a friend of mine, hates. A particularly memorable time with him was when we watched the film Lucy, and he was howling at the screen because of all the pseudoscience sort of dressed up to look like actual science. He was outraged, spitting and howling and shaking his fist at the screen. It was most amusing. So yeah, no pseudoscience, I think. Yeah, you've solved it. Football match defeat has been solved. Thank you, Leon C. You may go home and do whatever important things you were howling about earlier when we gave you some food, very charitably as well. We didn't have to feed you, and we didn't give you nice food, but we did give you some food. So, yeah, it might have been nice for you to be a bit more grateful rather than howling obscenities and complaining about all the things that you weren't able to do from your cell. Not cell. Petite and bijou. Living opportunity. There. Right, so Lee, off you go. There's a massive mound of lost and found, because most people seem to run out of the building. Right, bye. Lee's gone. The mound continues to grow. I don't know what we're going to do about that. But that's tomorrow's problem. Tomorrow Drumster loves problems like that. And today Drumster loves passing problems like that onto tomorrow's Drumster. All good. Next song is a Three of Diamonds, so let's see what we're going to do after that.
hypnotized. Shoot, I'm tapping in harder this year. Yeah, bear ripping in harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate. Ha 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 ha. Yo, we gon' ghost town, this Motown with your sound. You in the blink, gon' bite the dust and fight with us. With your sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it until you chatty.
That was Gorillaz with Feel Good Inc. Right, next boffin, might be the final boffin of the evening, we'll see, is Gretna Green. So funny. And Gretna suggests not that we run off to Scotland to get married, no, but we implement the inflatable emergency goal. So, on the little card. Yeah, the boffins have observed that goals remain exactly the same size. Hold on a minute, the boffins. Are you lot working together? I think the naming thing is... right, I'm going to put in some eggshells and try and soundproof the... hold on. Petite and Bijou living spaces. Yes. You should be doing this with your own... brainy boffinness, not like a gestalt entity of combined intellect. Shame on you. Boo. All right, well, let's see about that. So yeah, you've tipped me off there, Gretna. The boffins, plural, have observed that goals remain exactly the same size regardless of whether a team is comfortably winning or being thoroughly humiliated. That seems unnecessarily cruel. If someone is struggling to score, common decency suggests making the target larger. Okay. That's Gretna's thing. Ooh, weird noise of the door. So I'm going to stop there and see who's at the door, and then I'll be back. Hold on. Right, that was Susie at the door, who was having a lunch break and wanted me to join her. And I did. And then did some stuff, and then I donated some blood, because I'm a universal donor, so it seems like a good idea to do that. And then came back, procrastinated wildly, and now I'm back here, as if no time had passed, apart from me summarising the time had passed. Right, so Gretna's inflatable emergency goal proposal. Let's see what the initial implementation looks like. So Gretna's proposal is elegantly simple. Every goal frame would contain concealed hydraulic and inflatable mechanisms. The moment a team falls behind by two goals, sensors detect the emotional distress of the supporters and quietly activate the expansion sequence. The goal widens by, let's say, 20 centimeters. If the deficit reaches three goals, another expansion follows, and so on. And then maybe the crossbar will rise to improve morale. By five goals, the actual goal will resemble the entrance to, let's say, an aircraft maintenance hangar. So, initial pilot. Commentators are going to attempt to remain professional while casually remarking that the goal at the home end now occupies most of South Yorkshire. Goalkeepers are going to complain that they require binoculars to locate the posts, while strikers somehow continue missing from 6 yards. Okay, let's go down the line a bit. The sport will have completely adapted, I think. Teams are going to employ specialist giant goal coaches whose sole responsibility is going to be teaching players how to defend structures visible from low Earth orbit. Stadium architects are going to redesign arenas to accommodate emergency expansion zones. Insurance companies are going to refuse to cover accidental collisions between enlarged goalposts and nearby shopping centres. FIFA eventually introduced maximum goal dimensions after one unfortunate fixture in Milton Keynes, let's say, resulting in the home goal expanding sufficiently to absorb the away dugout, three substitutes, and maybe a hot dog or pie stand. I don't go to matches much, but I'm sure we've got junk food vendors. So that's that. Gretna, have you solved the problem of whatever we're doing today, which I can't quite remember? Hold on a minute, check my notes. Yeah, football match defeat. Yes, flawless. Mostly. Yeah, I think expanding goals will help redress the balance. So, yes. And even further, the winning team could have a smaller goal. Just adapting it a bit for you there, Gretna. Have you solved it? I think you have. Freedom is yours. Well done. Off you skip and stop glaring at me now. Yes, you don't need to glare at me anymore. You are now officially happy. Goodbye, farewell. DJ Deck says a two of hearts. And then I think we might have time for one more waffer-thin boffin before we go to the much maligned and misunderstood AI poetry section, which I definitely do not write. This is not me. This is AI writing it. Life's too short. And then that'll do ya until next time. Hooray. So on to whatever the music choice is for a two of hearts. Back in a minute.
I've been a wild rover for many years. I've spent all my money on whiskey and beer, let's say this way. But now I'm returning with gold in great store. And I never would pay the wild rover no more, and it's gold. I used to frequent. I told the landlady me money was spent. I asked her for credit, she answered me nay. Such custom as yours I can have any day. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play the wild rover. My pocket 10 sovereigns bright, and the landlady's eyes opened wide with delight. She says, I have whiskies and the wines of the best, and the words that you told me were only in jest. And it's no, nay, never. What I've done, and I'd ask them to pardon their prodigal son. And when they've caressed me as oft times before, then I never will pay the wild rover no more. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play the wild rover.
And that was the Dubliners, 15 years on from something. When they first played, maybe? I'm not sure. But anyway, 15 years after something, they're doing more stuff with Wild Rover. Also, I'm going to change the rules for future shows. We've got a 1 to 10, so it seems silly to have 5 and 6 being very similar. Let's go for 1 being pretty much the same song and 10 being jarringly different, headache-inducing different. Yes, but we'll start in a minute. Yay! But first, Dutch, our final contestant, Boffin contestant this week. Well done, Dutch, for making the grade. I don't know what happens to spare Boffins who don't manage to get an answer in. And I don't want to know. It's plausible deniability. So let's go with that. Anyway, Dutch suggests that we have the professional excuse department. On his little card, perhaps football defeats cannot be prevented. However, with sufficient investment, they can certainly be explained away. Ooh, interesting. So, initially, every professional football team would therefore establish a fully staffed professional excuse department, yes, operating independently from the coaching staff. Their sole responsibility would be to identify increasingly sophisticated reason why every defeat was, in fact, someone else's fault. Ooh, very nice. Like supplier infrastructure, ecosystems in IT thingies, companies, implementations, yeah, kind of thing. Huh? So, initially, these departments would initially employ meteorologists analyzing unexpected gusts of wind, for example. Physicists investigating suspicious gravitational anomalies. Psychologists examining crowd negativity. Economists measuring inflation's effect on first touches. And probably an elderly gentleman whose entire career consists of pointing at referees and muttering, "Disgraceful!" And there'll be plenty of applicants for that role. Following every defeat, this department is going to publish beautifully bound 80-page reports, complete with charts, diagrams, and computer simulations, so backed by science, demonstrating that victory was prevented by, let's say, microscopic turf irregularities, unfortunate cloud formations, the planets being incorrectly aligned, or maybe the unusually reflective surface of the opposition goalkeeper's gloves, anything like that. Let's roll that down the hill a bit. So these departments are going to become football's largest employers. Teams are going to spend more on excuse research than player transfers. Universities are going to establish degrees in advanced defeat attribution. Television programs are going to dedicate entire evenings to debating whether Jupiter's gravitational influence reduced passing accuracy by 0.03%. Eventually, the Ballon d'Or, as I call it, is quietly discontinued and replaced by the International Excellence in Excuse Engineering Award, with one team winning 5 consecutive years of convincingly proving that a defeat in February was primarily caused by an unusual assertive pigeon. Nice. Okay. Dutch, have you solved the problem of a football match defeat? You explained it away. Have you solved it, though? It's still there. I mean, you've suggested some lovely words, but the defeat is still there, no matter how you've mitigated it. Yes. So on that basis, no. The defeat has not been sort of prevented, just reduced. So, Dutch, you get 3 whole days of freedom, and then back to your enclosure, let's say, for another go. You're close, but no, I don't know, vice-like artifact or object. Ha, dodge. So, yeah, enjoy your freedom, however fleeting it may be. I'm going to put on whatever the 5 of spades is with our new and improved scoring. I think we're going to run over this week, but that's the scheduler's problem, not mine. I think, yeah, the schedule's called Igil, I think. Igil. And that's where the scheduling runs at the moment. But we'll see if we can modernize that. Because in my spare time, I throw technology at anything Stuart, the sort of the founder of the radio station, comes up with various degrees of success. So, song coming up next, and then AI poetry, and then freedom for everyone else. Bye for now. Back soon after the song. My, that's a long fade. Right, Madness with Baggy Trousers. Time for some AI poetry. Let me just announce that. Hold on. Yeah, I'm sure I'm getting better. Right, 4 AI poems coming up. And then, yes, freedom. Woo! Let's start with the Ministry of Unfortunate Circumstances. The whistle blew. The crowd all sighed. Our tactics worked, the manager cried. The score, he said, was rather rude. It simply lacked the proper mood. A scientist inspected grass, declared it was too thick to pass. The weather team blamed tiny gusts. The physios blamed aching trusts. The moon, they claimed, was out of line. A pigeon crossed a minute line. No, a minute nine. That makes more sense. The corner flags were leaning west. The football simply wasn't blessed. The referee had blinked too much. The goalkeeper possessed the touch. The crowd's applause was three beats late, which altered every player's fate. The report was bound in leather brown, 300 pages, half a crown. Conclusion, clear as it could be, we'd have won if reality had agreed. Next up, when goalposts dream of growing. One little goal stood proud and neat at either end of every street. It watched poor strikers miss once more and heard the crowd begin to snore. I know, it thought, I'll lend a hand. I'll simply grow a little grand. It stretched an inch, then stretched a yard, then football wasn't quite so hard. By half-time it was twice as wide, by full-time buses parked inside. Goalkeepers wandered left for days, using maps through giant maze. Commentators calmly said, he's somewhere near the crossbar, Fred. By season's end, the goals were vast. Airliners flew serenely past, yet somehow every centre forward still managed to hit the post. Next, the kindly league. The captain scored his team's third goal, then heard a kindly tannoy call, congratulations on your lead, but sharing is a noble deed. He smiled and handed one straight back to balance out the score attack. At four ahead, another came. Compassion now became the game. Fans applauded, acts of grace. Opposing strikers got embrace. Okay. Defenders helped retrieve the ball. The referee hugged one and all. League tables looked remarkably neat. No wins, no losses, no defeat. Just 20 clubs in perfect line, all finishing on points. 49. The title race was never tense, though terribly, well, sensible. And finally, Tuesday happened next Thursday. The fixture took place late one night. The home side lost despite the fight. No matter, smiled the Time Brigade. We'll simply have the schedule swayed. They fetched enormous clocks and pens, then shifted dates by hours, then tens. Late Tuesday moved to Friday's noon. Christmas happened late in June. The cup final came before round one, though everyone declared it fun. Historians scratched weary heads, calendars dissolved instead. Grandad swore he'd sinned that match before he'd even bought the patch. Before he'd even bought the patch. All right, I don't know what that means. Children asked, what year is this? The answer was, depends. And every club, through temporal tricks, won every game they'd ever picked. Proof at last, beyond all doubt, that changing history is easier than defending corners. And that is the end of the AI poetry section. Woohoo! Final straight, you're almost there. It's 2 of hearts. So we'll get that played and then off you go to do something else until next time. Yay! Fare thee well for yet another week.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's bed and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of ones with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. To change the mood a little I've been posing down the pub.
I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy this, I fancy that, I wanna be so flash. I give a little muscle and I spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat. Cool for cats. Questions that she hangs onto the wall. I kiss her for the first time and then I take her home. I'm invited in for coffee and I give the dog a bone. She likes to go to discos but she's never on her own. I said I'll see you later and I'll give her some old chat. But it's not like they on the TV. When it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.